Blog Talk Radio. National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, real talk on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me tonight. It's Sunday. Man, I can't believe how quick the year is flying by. It is Sunday. This is what? My gosh, April 19th. I am actually in the state of Illinois this weekend, enjoying this really nice weather. Finally, it's starting to get warm outside. Tonight is going to be an interesting night, being that we are talking about a topic that I know people that I've talked to when I go out to different events and happy hour over the last couple of weeks have been talking about this incident that has occurred in Atlanta that's been in the news. However, as always, before we get started, just want to cover some housekeeping rules and guidelines. As you know, some of you may be new to the game. This is an internet radio show, and you can access the show via the internet, the World Wide Web, or you can simply call in. If you decide to call in, my number is 347-326-9755. Now, if you want to use your smartphone, if you're on your computer, just simply go to my website, and it is blogtalkradio.com/ Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. No dashes, no slashes, no nothing. Okay? All right. Just that simple. Now, if you call in, if you're on my switchboard, I will simply say the last four digits of your phone number, and at that time, you'll be live on the air, and just give me your first name and what city you are calling in from. And please do the same thing if you decide to text me or shoot me an email as well. In your message, just simply let me know your name. Excuse me, your first name and what city you are emailing me from. So, with that said, let's start off here with the incident in Atlanta. Oh, man, this scandal was terrible. What was it? Last week, the verdict was read regarding the Atlanta teachers that were involved with this cheating scandal. And it was just really interesting to hear the verdict. However, before we go through that, I want to just go over the timeline because I got some good emails from people already about the case, being that you have several people that are very, very upset about the verdict, being that you have people, some people here that were charged 20 years in prison. So let's just go over some of these things right now. And let me see here. Did some research on the history, and I wanted to, and this went back a minute here. Let's see, timeline. All right. So all of this essentially started back in 2008, December 2008, where you had the justice did an investigation. An investigation started which highlights suspect scores on the state criterion reference competency test in five elementary schools, including one in Atlanta. So you had this huge investigation that was started, and the investigation, the Atlanta public school system responds that it had no plans to do, you know, respond or anything. They were just going to let the investigation take its place. Well, and that was, again, December of 2008. Well, here we have the beginning of the year in 2009, February 2009, Beverly Hall was named the National Superintendent of the Year by the American Association of School Administrators. And they credited her for raising test scores and graduation rates, okay? At that point, that particular group called Atlanta a model of urban school reform, all right? Now, In June of 2009, a couple months later, a state investigation finds strong evidence of cheating on retests at one Atlanta school and three in other districts. July of 2009, the State Board of Education throws out math retest results from four schools, including Atlanta's Deerwood Academy, despite Superintendent Beverly Hall's statement that external investigations found no evidence of tampering. Then in August of the same year, Superintendent Hall describes ATS, the Atlanta Public School System, as a model urban school district with double-digit test score gain. Let's see here. Just hold tight. Then at that time, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, an analysis was done showing statistically improbable increases on the state test in a year's time at a dozen Atlanta schools and seven others statewide. Hall and her aide say they didn't believe there was cheating. Then in November, all right, Hall announces that national experts will review test scores at the schools that recorded extraordinary improvements. Now, that was the end of 2009. Now we're going to delve into, Now we're going to delve into 2010 here. February 2010, the State Board of Education orders districts to investigate 191 schools statewide for potential cheating, including 58 in Atlanta. Wow, that is a big deal. And I'm gonna stop and say this. When I was in Texas, in Houston, and we first moved there, one thing that was just a bit disturbing for me was the whole testing aspect of the educational system. And it just, for me, it was troubling because there wasn't that much emphasis on the three R's, is what I call them, and that is reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I say that because that's how it was referenced back in the day, I'll say. However, I just noticed that you have more and more teachers that the school system, period, was more focused on teaching this particular test so students could pass it. All right, so let me just continue on here. That was February. Then in March, you had a chairperson of the Atlanta School Board announces a Blue Ribbon Commission will oversee the district's cheating investigation and that its members will be chosen from recommendations by the board. The Metro Atlanta Chamber and the nonprofit Atlanta Education Fund noted that they would do a cheating investigation. Then in July 2010, the board threatens to punish the district. The state board threatens to punish the district if it does not submit a report on its investigation by August 2nd. Then you had a report that the Atlanta Public School panel was looking into reports of cheating had ties to Hall, Superintendent Hall, or to the district, and that Central Office Administration took part in questioning potential witnesses. Now this is when it starts getting heated. So fast forward here, we're going to go to August, and it states here, after initially refusing to accept the Blue Ribbon Commission's finding of cheating, the Atlanta School Board relents. The commission concludes that cheating occurred at just 12 schools. Then a report noted that the Atlanta Public School System had chosen investigators scrutinized fewer than half of the 58 schools in question. Then Governor Sonny Perdue announces that special investigators would look into the cheating scandal. Then we go to October. You have 50 GBI agents begin questioning Atlanta teachers and administrators about whether they falsified test results. Wow. Then, hold tight. Then November of 2010, a study largely confirming, noting that an analysis had taken place, bear with me here, an analysis had taken place and they had obtained certain findings from those interviews that they had with teachers and administrators. And then in November also, that's when Superintendent Hall announced that she will retire in June. In December, the Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard appoints two special prosecutors for a criminal probe of Atlanta schools. Allegations included possible felony charges while of lying to agents or investigators about the cheating. Man. Now we have, let's see, the plot continues to thicken here. Excuse me. In February, you have state investigators say they uncovered a pattern of intimidation, threats, and retaliation against the school district employees who report cheating and other improprieties. Wow. They tell the district to drop plans to do its own cheating analysis, saying it would interfere with the governor's special investigation. After the district refuses, a judge orders it to stop and then does an internal probe. Wow, this really turned into a mess. All right, so fast forward here. I'm going to go into 2012. Here, and it notes within, this is July 2012, and it notes within days, specially appointed state investigators cite a wide range of cheating violations and organized and systematic misconduct in the school district. Their report names 178 teachers, principals, and administrators at 44 Atlanta schools. 80 educators confessed to cheating, according to the report. Wow. Davis said that most of the educators named in the report will remain on the payroll as the district decides what to do. Then at that time, that's when the interim school superintendent, Errol Davis, takes over. February, Errol Davis noted that I made a commitment to parents that people who committed cheating, whether knowingly or unknowingly, would not be put in front of children until they are all exonerated. Huh. Then in March of the same year, 2012, they started disciplinary action. And in June, the school district announced that 12 educators named in the investigation can return to the classroom after it determined that they didn't have enough evidence to fire them. Wow. And then July, you have a former principal at West Manor Elementary becomes the first accused principal to be reinstated into the school district after a year on paid administrative leave. Then they noted with her that they had insufficient evidence. Excuse me. March of 2013, of the 178 people implicated in the state investigation report, 21 educators have been reinstated, and 3 people were still awaiting appeals. At that time, you had about 150 educators who had resigned, retired, or lost their appeals to retain their jobs. Now, this is back in 2013, guys. This whole thing started in 2008. So, wow, just moving fast forward here. Oh, my gosh. Here you have in October. Well, first off, September 2013, Tamara Cotman, who oversaw 21 North Atlanta schools, she's found not guilty of trying to influence a witness after a 3-week trial. So then Cotman faces racketeering charges. Wow. Then in October 2013, defendant Lisa Terry, a former Humphreys Elementary teacher apologizes for her actions and pleads guilty to a misdemeanor charge of obstruction, agreeing to testify for the prosecution. Oh, my goodness. Then we have Armstead Salters, a principal at an elementary school for 3 decades, pleads guilty to a felony count of making false statements and writings. Prosecutors said it was an open secret that cheating had been going on at the elementary school for years. Then you have Millicent Few, a former school district human resources director, pled guilty to a misdemeanor. She was expected to testify that Beverly Hall ordered the destruction of internal investigative reports. Oh, my gosh. Then February, you have 35 educators, the original 35 educators indicted, 21 chose to enter guilty pleas by the deadline, leaving 13 to stand trial. One defendant passes away while awaiting trial. That was the superintendent. Then the lawyers for Beverly Hall said she was suffering from stage 4 breast cancer and was too ill to stand trial. Okay, so I guess that person's not part of, so the superintendent, Beverly Hall, was not part of the 13, the one defendant that passes away, although she did pass away. Okay, so then in April, it's revealed that prosecutors and lawyers for Hall tried to work out a deal where she would plead guilty to a single felony charge in exchange for probation. That's the superintendent who quit. Then in April, you had two cancer experts disagree on whether Beverly Hall could withstand a trial. Then we go into March of this year. That's when she died of breast cancer at 68, the superintendent. March 16th, attorneys give closing statements, blah, blah, blah. And then on March 19th of this year, the jury gets the case to consider. And then on April 1st, the jury returns guilty verdicts for conspiracy and other felony charges for 11 of the defendants. Only former teacher, is it Dessa Kerb, walked away with no convictions. The others were led out of handcuffs and booked into jail. Wow. So, okay, I know that was a lot, but I had several people just reaching out to me saying that they weren't aware of the full story and so on and so forth. So I wanted to just go back and just talk about that a bit. So now that I've given you the full lay of the land, I want you to listen to something here, because I've just been listening to all the little audio from the trial, and it was just very interesting. So just sit back, and first you're going to listen to the superintendent, the lady that passed away March of this year, the one that they noted was the mastermind of the intimidation culture that was inside of the school district. So this is first the testimony of the superintendent who passed away. Let's see, she passed away. It was March of this year, March 2nd, actually. Beverly Hall dies of breast cancer. So this is her testimony at that time. All right, here we go.
Educators were cheating.
That is correct.
Can you tell the judge, if you remember, about how many children were there in the Atlanta public school system during this time period? We're talking about 2010, 2011.
Around 47,000 students, somewhere in that range.
47,000.
Mm-hmm.
And how many employees?
Took over 6,000 employees at that time.
So can you tell the judge? Would you, as superintendent, have talked to the special investigators even without the board directing you? Thank you.
I would talk with special investigators because it was just as much my desire to find out what was going on as anybody else.
I call this just right now. The board just has to tell you to go down there and talk to Mike Bowers and Bob Wilson. You would have done it anyway, right?
I would have done it.
And so really, when you tell Mr. Dean in response to these questions that, hey, you know, I was fearful that I would be terminated, I would lose my job if I didn't cooperate with these investigators, I mean, you would have done it anyway, right?
I would have done it, but I also knew that it was a directive from the board, and I absolutely was clear that there would be a consequence if I did not.
Yeah, but the consequence is not what drove you to it. It was superintendent. You wanted to get into trouble, right?
That is correct.
And you would have helped these investigators get to the bottom of who or if cheating was going on with these babies, whether the board told you to do it or not. Right? Now, let me ask you this. Did you believe at the time that there was a widespread cheating problem within the Atlanta Public School System?
Upon receiving the DRC report, they clearly noted that there were 12 schools in Category 1 and 108 employees. It was clear to me that there was a problem that needed further investigation in order to hold people accountable. If an employee were found during the after we had done due diligence through due process hearings, the employee was found during the
Okay, we're going to stop that here because I am getting some feedback here, so let's keep doing that, but we're going to that one didn't come across too well, so let's do this. That was actually just an excerpt of her being interviewed. It didn't really come out that well, so I do apologize for that. I don't know what all the rumblings were. However, I'm sure that you'll be able to hear this one better. So here's actually the judge talking.
I'm giving my sentence based on your client and those similarly situated, Ms. top of this scandal, at the very top, and everybody in the education system at APS knew that cheating was going on, and your client promoted it. Do you have something nice to say about your client?
I said a lot of nice things, John. I think that you may already have a sentence in mind.
Ms. Kaufman, you've got one count. I sentenced you to 20 to serve 7. With a balance on probation, 2,000 hours of community service, and a $25,000 fine. I burned out on this issue, and it's in the record. I admire the way you defended Mr. Pitts. You were excellent, and I'm just sorry it's come to this. So he takes no responsibility, Mr. Lawson. He was at the epicenter of the cheating. Parks Middle School was the number one cheating school in the state of Georgia, and he was the director.
Judge.
And Waller, you know, he comes in here. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know why he's saying he can't understand what's happened to him, or that he's not taking responsibility because he was in charge of that school. I think there were hundreds, thousands of children that were harmed in this thing, and that's what gets lost. Everybody starts crying about these educators.
Judge, and I haven't heard and that one time about that.
What? There were thousands of children that were harmed in this thing. This is not a victimless crime that occurred in this city. And I have sentenced them. This was going on right after, when Beverly Hall got here, Mr. Pitts got here about the same time. From 2001, there was whole-scale cheating going on in the Atlanta public schools, and these kids were passed on and had no chance to begin with because of where they lived, who their parents were, who their, you know, just their situation. And the only chance that they had was the school to get an education. And when you're passed, you can't read, you're passed on and passed on. There are victims that are in the jail that I have sentenced, kids. I don't like sentencing. I don't like sending people to jail, but, you know, sometimes that's what's necessary. My sentence for the count one is 20 years to serve seven, balance probated, 2,000 hours of community service, $25,000 fine, and you can have an appeal bond. My sentence is 5 years to serve one, balance probated, 1,000 hours of community service, and I'll let her plead under the First Offenders Act. The evidence for her case was the most overwhelming in the whole trial, that she cheated.
And Judge,
her best friend said she cheated. They got together and cheated. And these children came in and said that they saw her cheating. Yet, you know, here we are, and she doesn't have to, she didn't need to be taken away from her kids. She didn't need all this. She could have just accepted responsibility, and that would be the end of it. So, I don't know, the evidence was overwhelming. I'm going to follow the state's recommendation. 5 years to serve two. What was the recommendation on community service?
You know, but the state's actually on Queens, and we also object to the first offender. As well as any community service, we would ask that she be given community service in the amount of 1,500 hours.
1,500 hours community service.
And then the fine was $5,000, what the state requested.
$5,000 fine. Maybe we can end this. We can just end this.
Trying to book that with your airline rewards
and
miles?
The punishment wouldn't be so severe, but it was just taking responsibility, and nobody has taken any responsibility. I saw the light. I was trying to give everybody one more chance, and, you know, probably going to have tomatoes thrown at me, but, you know, nobody took it. So, you know, things change.
I know things
and
change.
And all I want from any of these people is just to take some responsibility. But they refuse. They refuse. And
I am convinced
that your client recruited those two retired teachers and cheated on that test. And this is where the whole thing came up. It was so outrageous, the scores on those kids from that school, that they came in, and that's what started the Atlanta newspapers. That's what started this whole thing rolling. And your client was there, and I'm convinced did it.
Now, if I can't accept your word, the court's word, then what? Whose word can I accept?
Okay, well, I guess I'm just a...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's one tape. I mean, there's just so much out there. I really want you to listen to the second one here. Here's another one.
This morning, 11 former Atlanta teachers and administrators face up to 20 years in prison. A jury found them guilty in one of the largest test cheating scandals in history. The judge ordered all but one jailed right away. Vanita Nair is here to show us the classroom conspiracy that led to the convictions. Vanita, good morning.
Good morning. Nearly a dozen former Atlanta public school educators are behind bars this morning, closing the chapter on what the city's mayor described as one of the darkest periods in the life of our city.
We, the jury, found the defendant guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Disgraced school officials looked stunned as the guilty verdicts were read out one by one.
Guilty. I don't like to send anybody to jail.
Judge Jerry Baxter requested that most of them be handcuffed and removed from the courtroom immediately.
They have made their bed, and they're going to have to lie in it.
Only one of the 12 defendants, Dessa Kerb, a former elementary school teacher, was exonerated.
I just couldn't plead to something that I didn't do.
In 2009, a series of articles cast doubt on dramatic improvements in scores on standardized testing. A 2011 investigation revealed the scope of the cheating was massive. 178 educators, including 38 principals, were implicated from 44 elementary and middle schools. The report detailed how teachers and administrators erased students' incorrect answers and gave the answers aloud in some cases.
There is simply no excuse for unethical behavior.
It also described the school system superintendent at the time, Beverly Hall, as the creator of a culture of fear and intimidation. Hall died a month ago after a struggle with breast cancer. She never admitted to any wrongdoing.
Do we want to address sentencing?
The investigation concluded thousands of children were denied remedial education because of the inflated test scores.
We've been fighting for the children in our community. When we saw the evidence, it was really not a hard decision.
In a statement Wednesday, Atlanta Public Schools said this has been a sad and tragic chapter for Atlanta Public Schools that has now come to a close. It has been a painful time for our students, families, employees, and the city. Sentencing is expected within the next 2 weeks. Gail?
Thanks, Anita.
This morning, 11 former Atlanta teachers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. So tonight, I just want to, you've been given enough information to just send me your thoughts, and I've already received some information and comments from you, hence the discussion tonight. However, the verdict was just shocking. You had several individuals that, let's see here, eight of the ten were sentenced to prison time but released on bond through the appeals process. And the investigation into the scandal, it spanned 7 years. The trial took 6 months before a jury convicted 11 of 12 educators on charges that included racketeering. It's just really interesting because you actually had an individual that here had, and I actually know someone that has a relative that's involved with it, and they noted that they were just mesmerized, disappointed with one of the verdicts where you had one lady that received a 5-year sentence and she'll serve to $5,000 fine with 1,500 hours of community service. I mean, it was just, after the verdict was read, now, don't get me wrong, I think that the verdict was too harsh for the crime. However, I am going to say that there should have been some form of punishment because they were blatantly wrong for altering those tests. And that's why I said earlier on when I was in Texas that my daughter was going to school in Texas that I really had a hard time with this whole teaching the test aspect because I found that the school was concentrating more on the teachers and the tested, the students and the test itself, opposed to preparing these students for college. And that, or the next phase, or high school, or whatever it may be, it was just too much. So here you had several defendants that were found guilty, 11 of them. And I'm looking here, in particular, I took all these notes, and it looks like I took all these notes. Overall, these people got jail time, and they were not, this definitely was not a slap on the wrist. It was not that. It was clear that the judge made examples of them because he noted that it was ridiculous being that they had blatantly cheated. was his big, that's what I recall being his big, being his big piece and his, all of his messaging that I've read, is that he noted that it was just blatant. So here, let's just take a look at some of the verdicts here. You have one lady here, Sharon Davis Williams. She was a former school resource team executive director. And her sentence was 20 years with 7 to serve, 13 years probation, 2,000 years of community service, and a $25,000 fine. She was sentenced as a first offender. She noted that, "I feel like I've been professionally and personally assassinated without being heard." Okay, that's one person. I'm not going to read them all. I just want you to hear some of them. Then you have another lady that, wow, this Tamara Cotman, she was the school resource team executive director. She received 20 years with 7 to serve, 13 years probation, 2,000 hours of community service, and a $25,000 fine. She was also sentenced as a first offender. As I mentioned, she was a school resource team executive director. She was accused of instructing principals to use the controversial go-to-hell memos when GBI agents started investigating the cheating scandal. This particular lady was an educator for 19 years. Wow. Okay, let's look at a couple of more of their, a couple of other sentences. Here you have Angela Williamson. Angela, guilty, false statements. She received 5 years to serve two, 3 years probation, 1,500 years hours of community service, and a $5,000 fine. That was her. That was her sentencing. Then you have Diane Webb. 5 years to serve one, 4 years probation, 1,000 hours of community service, and a $1,000 fine. So let's see here, Ms. Copeland. She was the Benteen Elementary Testing Coordinator. 5 years to serve one, 4 years probation, 1,000 hours of community service, and a $1,000 fine. I know there was a gentleman, let me see, Donald Bullock. He got 5 years, 6 months. Oh, he got 5 years probation. He was the Usher Heights Elementary Testing Coordinator. Faces one count of racketeering, 3 counts of false statements and writing, and 1 count of false swearing. So he gets 5 years probation, 6 months, weekends in jail, $5,000 fine. He was accused of telling teachers to change answers on the test in 2009. Wow, that's deep. All right, then you have another, this lady here, Tabika Jordan. Is that her name? I think it's Tabika. She faces 1 count of racketeering, 1 count of false statements in writing, and a count of theft by taking. 5 years, 2 years. 5 years to serve two, 3 years probation, 1,500 hours of community service, and $5,000 fine. She was the assistant principal. Deerwood Elementary, Tabika Jordan faced 1 charge of racketeering, 1 count of false statements, All right. I don't think I went through everyone, but I think that's enough. Let me do one more person here. Okay, so she's pregnant, so she'll be sentenced in August. Wow, so that's that. She doesn't get off. And then this Dessa Kerb, Michael Pitts. Let me see what he – oh, I knew there was somebody else who got 20 years. So here's this Michael Pitts. He was a school resource team executive director. He received 20 years with 7 to serve, 13 years probation, 2,000 hours of community service, and a $25,000 fine. He has also received 5 years to serve concurrently for influencing witnesses. He was accused of telling teachers to stop complaining and write letters regarding allegations of bullying Parks Middle School officials. Wow. Stop complaining and writing letters regarding allegations of bullying from Parks Middle School. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, God, sometimes people get so comfortable in their space that they lose sight. It's very unfortunate. So, with that said, I'd like to just talk about the last couple of minutes here. Oh, I received a lot of comments here. Let me go to the comments. I'm just talking. Looking at the comments here, tonight I'd like to talk about the verdict. I don't know what's wrong with my tongue tonight. I'd like to talk about the verdict and the various sentencing that were issued to these educators. Was it too harsh? What's your take on that? It's very, very interesting to see these people get 20 years in prison, and they get 20 years, they're serving 7, et cetera, et cetera. However, they cheated. So now my question to you is, do you think that the sentencing was too harsh? Okay, let me look at some of my messaging here. Just looking at the messages that I've received, here I have Betty from South Carolina. She notes that I am currently an educator, and I believe that the sentencing was too harsh. Yes, there should have been some form of punishment, but sentencing someone to 20 years, sentencing an educator to 20 years in prison, although they're only serving 7, with 7 to serve, she thinks it's ridiculous. And it was a sad day. It was a sad day when the investigation started, and it was an even sadder day when she noticed that the verdicts were read. Okay, thank you. Thank you for sending a message. I appreciate that. I know every place I went, I would either ask the question or someone would ask me what I thought about it, and my first response was always, that, yes, they were wrong. They were completely wrong for cheating. However, I thought that the various sentencing was definitely harsh. Thought it was harsh. Okay, so with that said, one particular lady said to me that I thought it was just so appropriately stated, the question, is this an example of America's broken justice system? Being that these people were charged so harshly. They're educators. Now, I'm going through my messages here, and I do actually see some people that have said they did not think that the verdicts were harsh due to the nature of the crime. I have someone here that didn't give me their name. I appreciate the message. They noted that those educators should have been ashamed of themselves. It was embarrassing to know that something like that had taken place. This particular person now thinks that it had been taking place all along. They just got caught, and no one, as the judge said, took responsibility, and this person agrees with the judge 100% with the sentencing. They noted that an example needs to be made out of people when things like this occur. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm just skimming here. Now, while I'm doing that, I wanted to bring up the justice system. Is this Atlanta case, is this Atlanta teacher's trial a perfect example of America's broken justice system? It's really interesting, and I'll tell you, a lady got this, came to me because she read an article, and she wanted to know, she noted that, you know, and just took an excerpt from the article and said that it seems safe to say that Judge Baxter lost his perspective. And the prosecutors who brought racketeering charges against the educators did as well. As a result, 8 teachers and administrators were given jail sentences of at least a year. We do know that. 3 administrators were given 21-year sentences with 7 served in prison, far more than 1 to 3 years that prosecutors were seeking. So this result is a classic example of how excessive sentencing and abuse of excessive sentencing and abuse and discretion have resulted in what amounts to a mass, wow, incarceration disaster in the U.S. To say that when the racketeering charges are breaking a butterfly on a rule is not to condone the actions of these teachers and administrators. Whatever one thinks about high-stakes, standardized tests, they had a professional duty to administer them with dignity, and their actions are offensive. But their behavior does not justify prosecution under statutes intended to be against organized crime. So with that said, what's your take? We pretty much, I'm looking at the messages here, and it's split. There are many that say that the verdict was harsh, and then there are some that are saying that they agree with it because at the end of the day, the kids are the ones that suffer. And I'm noting several people here are saying that they're educators and they should have known better. Period, end of story. That's what I'm getting here, exclamation point. So what's going on with our justice system? I'm just perplexed that you had, again, I'm not condoning their behavior. Please don't think that I am. However, my challenge is that where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line with all of this? That becomes the issue. So here I'm getting these text messages and these emails, and I just want to go back here. I want you to hear just one more time. I got someone that wants to hear this video or this audio. Just take a listen.
This morning, 11 former Atlanta teachers and administrators face up to 20 years in prison. A jury found them guilty in one of the largest test cheating scandals in history. The judge ordered all but one jailed right away. Vanita Nair is here to show us the classroom conspiracy that led to the convictions. Vanita, good morning.
Good morning. Nearly a dozen former Atlanta public school educators are behind bars this morning, closing a chapter on what the city's mayor described as one of the darkest periods in the life of our city.
We, the jury, found the defendant guilty.
Disgraced school officials looked stunned as the guilty verdicts were read out one by one.
Guilty. I don't like to send anybody to jail.
Judge Jerry Baxter requested that most of them be handcuffed and removed from the courtroom immediately.
They have made their bed and they're going to have to lie in it.
Only one of the 12 defendants, Dessa Kerb, a former elementary school teacher, was exonerated.
I just couldn't plead to something that I didn't do.
In 2009, a series of articles cast doubt on dramatic improvements in scores on standardized testing. A 2011 investigation revealed the scope of the cheating was massive. 178 educators, including 38 principals, were implicated from 44 elementary and middle schools. The report detailed how teachers and administrators erased students' incorrect answers and gave the answers aloud in some cases.
There is simply no excuse for unethical behavior.
It also described the school system superintendent at the time, Beverly Hall, as the creator of a culture of fear and intimidation. Hall died a month ago after a struggle with breast cancer. She never admitted to any wrongdoing.
Do we want to address sentencing?
The investigation concluded thousands of children were denied remedial education because of the inflated test scores.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's stop right there. I do have several other messages and comments and thoughts. However, just taking a look at the messages that I've received, it's pretty much split. It's interesting because when I went out, I would have a group of people that felt that the sentencing was too harsh and that here you have George Zimmerman that has killed Trayvon Martin and he walks away. But then you have teachers, educators that, yes, there should have been some form of consequence, but they should not have been charged so harshly. So with that said, I see a couple of people here on my switchboard here that have called in. And as I mentioned earlier, I will just simply say the last four digits of your phone number. At that time, you'll be live on the air. And just simply let me know what's on your mind. And don't forget, give me your name and what city you are calling in from. Okay, I have 7463. You are live on the air. What's on your mind? Hello, you are live on the air. Let's talk with Dr. Wendy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I do understand that some of you may just be simply dialing in to listen. I get it. Appreciate the support. Okay, I have a couple of other people here that are on the line, but before I let you chime in, I'd like to find out what's your thoughts on the justice system. That was my biggest piece, is where does the justice system fail us? You know, I guess I struggle with that whole thing because when the verdict first hit, I was mortified with the verdict and the sentencing. I thought that it was very, very harsh. And I just wanted to get I needed to get a better understanding of the judicial system and how that was allowed. Now, if you followed the case, you would have also found that the recommended sentencing that were initially offered for the defendants was essentially denied. And the judge decided to, I think, make an example out of the people in this particular case. So here I'm going to some information that, as I mentioned earlier, I'm always looking things up. And there's an article, as I mentioned earlier, someone sent me, and it was that it's titled so eloquently, "The Atlanta Teacher's Trial, A Perfect Example of America's Broken Justice System." So what do you think? Okay, so let me go and take a look here at the switchboard now. I have someone texting me asking, yes, you can simply dial in, you can listen that way, or you can just pull it up on your smartphone if you'd like to do that as well, and you can listen to the show. Okay, just looking here at some of the comments, it looks like the judicial system definitely needs to have several laws and guidelines that need to be written. This particular person struggled. They didn't give me their name. I appreciate the comment. This particular person noted that they struggle with what a judge can and cannot do. It appears as if they just go in and do whatever they want to do, and it does not matter. They don't look at the long-term impact of their particular judgment. Huh. Let's see here. Looking at some other comments, I have some individuals. Again, wow, this is interesting. Some other individuals that note that there's nothing wrong with the justice system, that this was a tragedy, and the educators should be ashamed of themselves. There was nothing wrong with the justice system in that, in this particular person's opinion, the justice system worked. And the educators, this person feels that the others that were just given 5 years should have been given 20 years as well, because they were all involved, and the students were just doing nothing but following the adult lead, and it's very unfortunate that they were led in that capacity or in that manner. Okay, wow. So, again, it's it's interesting, it's split. This particular question that I'm posing to you about the judicial system, it's actually more 70-30. 70% of the people here that have sent me messages are leaning more on the side of there is something wrong with the system, and that they were not surprised. And someone also noted here that this particular case reminds them of the Mike Tyson case back several years ago when he was accused of rape, and this is very similar in that this particular person thinks that the judge was merely making an example out of these educators, hence the harsh verdict. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me go back and take a look here. I know this is a very detailed case, and we can talk about this for another 30 minutes. However, I am going to just take a look here. I do have someone else that has called in. The last four digits of your particular phone number is 7883. You are live on the air right now. Tell me what is on your mind. All right. I have someone else that's listening. Not a problem. I appreciate you supporting the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to go on too much further. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about this particular case. I know I received several messages from you just wanting to get feedback from others and to find out what we're on, what's actually on people's mind when it comes to the verdict. Just summing things up from just what I'm finding, that 70% of my listeners have noted that there's nothing wrong. I'm looking here, just double checking my numbers here, just taking a look at the number of emails. Okay, 70-30 in that there is something wrong. Excuse me, there is something wrong with the judicial system, and that you have 30% of people that think there is nothing wrong with the judicial system. Again, 70-30, 70 doesn't think anything's wrong, 30% think there is something wrong. And then on the other side of the pendulum, it's split. It's really split. You have some, and it's really interesting because I've been talking about this ever since the verdict was announced, that it just depends on the kind of the different audiences that I engage. I have gone to some meetings and it's come up and we've talked about it and it's been unanimous. You have people that have thought that the sentencing was too harsh. Then I'll go somewhere else and you have someone that's either 80% thinks that it was too harsh, 20% that thought that it was not, and then another environment, 60% thinks that it was too harsh, 40% did not. So it just depends. And then I'll tell you another thing that I've noticed as well is I'm finding that it's interesting. I just know a lot of educators. And educators are very, very compassionate people. However, there were some that understood the pressure that they obtain in the school system as well and can understand and sympathize why that happened because he or she has experienced that as well. So it's interesting in this particular case because it appears as if the superintendent received the superintendent, which is a big deal, a superintendent of the year award. However, it's being questioned. Did this lady manage with fear and intimidation? That's never a good culture to be in. I've been in that situation before, and it sucks. It's terrible, okay? So with that said, what's the lesson for tonight? The lesson for tonight is no matter how difficult the culture is, no matter what's going on, you cannot cheat on these standardized tests. It's just, because why? Why? Someone saying why? Why? You know, if you're at the pressure, you want to keep your job. Why? In the end, who suffers? Just tell me. In the end, yes, you had people that were sentenced to 20 years in prison and they're only serving half and et cetera, et cetera. However, the only ones in the end that lose are the kids. I can't put it any other way. They're the ones that, they don't win with this one. It just doesn't benefit them in any capacity because they're essentially being passed. They're being passed on and put in a grade that, in some instances, you have students that obviously would not be ready because they passed the test, they were advanced, or whatever the situation may be. They cheating took place, and then the student's not able to handle that particular course, so or that particular grade. So, with that said, I'm still getting messages in. You know, I'm just looking and hearing them come through. And here a comment here, Don in Florida notes that. My mom was an educator for years. She stopped teaching. She said that she was an educator for years. She decided to stop teaching because she did not like a lot of the new rules and guidelines in the system. She did not like being pressured to make things happen that should not have happened. He feels that the sentencing was too harsh, and his mother said the same thing, felt that the sentencing was too harsh, considering that she does believe that they were managed by threats and threats, intimidation, and some were bullied. She said she's seen it. And people are, they need their job. So they're just going to go through the motion so they can keep their job, and they're not going to say no. And then that's when people get in trouble. So, man, that is what happens. You're absolutely correct. That's why in any environment, I say this all the time, in any environment that you're in, you really have to be mindful and stay ethical. If your boss or someone is telling you to do something that you don't get a good vibe on, or if you know that it's unethical, blatantly unethical, you got to do some reporting. You have to say something. If not, you're just as guilty. And unfortunately, that is what happened in this particular case. It's very sad. Very, very, very sad. I'm still getting messages coming through. I'm sure you hear my phone buzzing. That's exactly what is happening. So working in education, you have educators that are very compassionate, and those that really, really take a step back to make sure that our students are receiving the tools that they need to be successful, and they're not being pushed through the system so they can just ultimately fail and be frustrated. And for many, when they are just that frustrated academically, the thing that occurs is that they end up dropping out. So oddly enough, it's just a trickle-down effect on what happens when things like this occur. So with that said, and I'm going to tell you, I've been in a situation like that where I've actually been approached to do something and perform a task that was not ethical. And I just put it out there. When he came to me and had some discussion and wanted me to prepare a report that did not contain the information that I found during my audit, I put it out there. I said, those are not my findings. That's not what I found. It's not what I found, because I know at the end of the day, whenever an investigation comes, they were going to come back to me. So you just have to really think about those things sometimes, because there was a lady in HR in this particular case that was also charged. I believe she was charged with a misdemeanor. I don't have that in front of me, but I know I saw someone in HR was also charged because apparently they were aware of it as well and did not say anything. So it's a very, very sad case. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, wow. I just, again, wanted to get your feedback to see how people felt about the case, about the decision that was made. Was it harsh, number one? And is this a good example of the judicial system and some of the challenges that we currently have? So with that said, wow, this has been an interesting dialogue. I appreciate those of you that have sent me several text messages and emails. I appreciate that. I really do. And I also appreciate those of you that are in the switchboard that sent me messages that simply said that you did not have anything to say. You're just simply on your computer listening in. So I appreciate you in that regard as well. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to close out for the evening. Again, the lesson here, ethically, no matter what environment you're in, education, finance, you have your own business, you have to walk the line when it comes to compliance, period, end of story. Because I am here to tell you that I don't care how many meetings that you have, I don't care how many times you tell people not to say anything, I don't care how many times you say you're not going to get caught, never listen to that, period. I can't be any clearer. Never listen to it. And also, in this particular case, there was a lady that was sentenced, and I believe her friend either worked at the school, and then her friend ended up telling the investigators that they essentially cheated together. So again, guys, ladies and gentlemen, please do not put yourself in that situation. You never want to appear as if you're always looking over your shoulder because you know you did something wrong. Because I'll tell you, it may not happen today, may not happen tomorrow, may not happen a year from now. But when people start nosing around and you know that something, a process was not done accurately, got to say something. All right, I'm going to close out for the evening. And as always, I'm going to close out by simply thanking you. Thanking you for continuing to send me topics. Next week, I look forward to having an author on the line. And we're going to continue on the theme that I have with just talking about our black men and what's going on with our black men and in the community and with the police. I have a friend of mine that actually wrote a book. He has a son, and it talks about the streets not taking his son. I think it's just in line with the theme that I have, some of the information that I've posted on my Facebook page. Please check me out on Facebook as well. On Facebook, I am listed as D-R-U-N-A, Dr. Una Johnson. So I know some people have been hitting me saying, I don't see you, Dr. Wendy. Okay, yeah, I know. Just hit me on Facebook. That's what I'm listed in. That's how I'm listed. I would love for you to follow me on my page. Okay, and also Instagram. I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter. And you know what? I'll tell you, I am even on Pinterest as well. I found that I really like this whole Pinterest concept. So I know. I got somebody just sent me a message saying, you're late. I know I'm late. I'm very, very late. But hey, better late than never. All right. Okay, so with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close out this evening with just an announcement that I have for those of you that are in the Minnesota area. I ask that you please go and check out on Friday nights. There is a place that I want you to go check out, and it's called The Boulevard. It's in Bloomington. It's in Bloomington, Minnesota, and it's actually called The Boulevard. Friday nights, ladies and gentlemen, from 9:30 to 2. It is open from 9:30 to 2. And it is R&B and old school. So go and check out The Boulevard. It'll be definitely worth your time. If you have a birthday coming up, I definitely encourage you to go and to celebrate that at The Boulevard as well. The hospitality, the wait staff, everyone is anxious to serve you. Okay, they're very, very anxious to serve you. So I don't know what's going on with me this evening. I did have some coffee, so maybe that has something to do with it. However, nevertheless, it appears as if I am. Someone said, slow down, you're talking so fast. Slow down. That's funny. Nevertheless, again, Friday night, where? Friday night at the Boulevard. What's the address? 1114. West American Boulevard, okay, South Minneapolis and South Suburbs. Again, it's an exciting R&B dance and social lounge, so please go check them out. And it's really nice. I went there and had a great time, okay? So with that said, yes, I'm going to close out. Some of you are asking me why I didn't get your comment or your question. I'm telling you, I looked at a lot of them, and I just kind of gave a summation of it, but I wanted to talk about it because I know that people wanted to send me their thoughts, and I just wanted to talk about basically the judicial system and how decisions were obviously made that were too harsh. And I'll tell you, this is my thought also. I don't know if I said it earlier. However, I think this particular case, for me, reminds me of the Mike Tyson case several years ago when he was charged with rape. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that nothing happened. However, I think his sentencing was extreme, is what I mean when I say I look at this and it reminds me, that case reminds me of this. It just does. I just thought that when he went through that, again, I'm not saying that he did not do anything wrong. I just thought the sentencing at that particular time was very excessive, hence this particular case as well. So with that said, as you see, I love talking. I can talk. I can continue talking for the next 30 minutes. However, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to end the show. I told you about The Boulevard. I'm going to end the show with, hey, all you indie artists, you got to give me a call because I like to have you on my show. I love new artists. I love new artists, artists that have new material. Definitely please get with me because I will definitely love to play your music and give you an opportunity to obtain some feedback from my listeners, because people do. They text and they reach out to me and they let me know. And I'll tell you, and it's funny. I'm real funny with social media. I'll be out there and I hit it strong, and the next thing you know, I disappear and I come back and I disappear. However, I said, you got to stay consistent, and that's what I'm going to do this time, because I had somebody hit me and say, okay, so you're on Facebook for 3 months. You're on there all the time, and then next thing I know, you disappear for two. I'm vowing not to do that again. Promise. Okay? All right, guys. I'm going to end this evening with my favorite song. For the past couple of weeks, I've definitely ended with this song because I like it. It's on J Mo's Big Boy CD. Please go to CD Baby and you can get the CD. Several nice songs on that CD. So, you know, let's support our indie artists. That's how they eat. That's how they do their thing. Very talented individuals, and we want to definitely show them some love. So with that said, good night, ladies and gentlemen, and as always, keep your eyes on the prize. Have a good week.
Me, you cook for me. This makes me feel happiness. Keep praying for me, just pray for me, 'cause it makes me feel oh so blessed. It's a beautiful day, baby, when we wake up to the sunshine. Yeah, feel you warm, laying next to me. Glad that you are mine, all mine.